So, Parshas Vayetzi, Perek Lamed Aleph, as we get towards the very end of the Parsha, Pasuk Membeis. So, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Membeis. So, the Lavan comes after him, and he looks around for all of the things, and after he couldn't find those trafim, after he couldn't find the things which Rachel had stolen, plus Rachel gave him the excuse, so Yaakov lets him have it. Yaakov says, how dare you, you shouldn't have come, and what did I do wrong? For 20 years I worked for you, I never took anything from you, and then he concludes his speech by saying, in Pasuk Membeis, Lule Elokei Avi Elokei Avram B'chad Yitzchak Hayali, Ki Atem Rikam Shalachtani. He says, if it wasn't for the fact that I had the God of Avram and what Yitzchak feared on my side, you would have wiped me clean. Es Ani V'es Yegia Kapai Ra Elokim V'yochach Amish. And God saw my wretchedness and the toil of my hands, so he admonished you last night. So what the initial reaction is that Yaakov is invoking his chosavos. He's saying, what's the reason that I was saved? I was saved because of my parents, Avram and Yitzhak. I didn't necessarily deserve it, but because of them, I've been saved. However, the Medrash says, you take a closer look at the Pasuk, it's actually not what Yaakov is saying at all, or Yaakov is saying a lot more than that. Yaakov is saying, "Lule okay avi okay Avram b'kad Yitzchak hayali." If it wasn't for the fact of Avram and Yitzchak, or the God of Avram and Yitzchak, hayali ki atari kam shachtani, you would have cleaned me out, and I would have no money yet. But then the second part, es yani v'es yegia kapai ra elokim v'yochach amish. Right, when God saw my wretchedness and the toil of my hands, that's why he went to you last night. Right? So what is the reason, and what's he talking about, they went to him last night? That Lavan had this dream, that Hashem came to him and told him that you better not mess with Yaakov, neither for the good and nor for the bad. Don't say anything. Don't bother him, and don't give him brachos, don't give him klalos, we don't want anything from you. So the Medrash is saying, well, the idea that he has any money at all, that's true. That's because of the schos of the parents. But the fact that he went to Lavan, and the fact that Hashem went to Lavan and told Lavan, don't mess with him at all, don't bother him at all, that is the merit of Yaakov's hard work. That I've been the wretchedness of me, that I've had a difficulty, but that he saw, as Yegia Kapai, is that he saw my hard work. And because he saw my hard work, therefore I am deserved of this extra bracha, and of this extra protection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. So what is he referring to by this hard work? So Rabbi Simon in Nimri Baruch, which I accidentally forgot on my desk, and I think I pieced a lot of it together here, but Simon Nimri Baruch points directly to that Rambam that we discussed yesterday. The Rambam at the very end of Hilchos Schirus, where Yaakov is brought up as the ideal of a higher worker. A person is obligated to work with all of his strength. And then Yaakov is able to make the claim that because of all of the work, I worked on your behalf with all of my koach. And therefore he became very wealthy. He was able to get reward even in this world. So what is that? What is being deduced from here? That Yaakov deserved something. He had some amount of protection. But the fact that Yaakov was able to leave with everything, not just that Lavan didn't wipe him clean, and that he had nothing left, but that he not had stuff and he had more than some stuff, that he was able to leave with a certain amount of wealth, that is not just tola b'schus avos. That is not just because he has merits of great parents and a great grandfather. That's not just in that merit, but that is because of his own work. That is because of the idea that he went above and beyond. And it is instructive that this Hilchos Schirus puts it in the realm of Gezel. The way that it starts off is that if you, right, the previous halacha, which we learned about The first part of that halacha is it compares it to gezel. That just as a person is commanded that he's not supposed to steal anything, beyond that, he not doing things that will deduct from his work is a form of gezel. Now, it's not really a form of gezel. It's not a form of gezel that you could be held accountable for, but it is a sort of above and beyond amount of gezel. It is a demonstration of putting in extra things. So just as Yaakov Avinu put in extra work on behalf of Lavan, that he was able to ensure that he gave in a full day's work plus, therefore Hashem made sure that he was able to have whatever he needed plus. The Medrash describes also that Yaakov, not only did he work a full day, but he worked with b'chol kocho the entire day, his entire energy the entire day, which is beyond what most people expect. I mean, most people it's expected that you come in ready for work and that you do the best that you can. But usually, the Medrash experience, a person comes in and an hour one, hour two, hour three, a person is working b'chol kocho, and they start leveling off a little bit after that. So Yaakov himself makes the point that I worked for you the entire day b'chol kochi, with my entire strength, which is beyond what perhaps is expected of me. And therefore, Hashem went beyond and give me extra protection that A, you're not going to take my stuff away, but you're not going to give me brachos, you're not going to give me kolos, I'm not going to be impacted on you at all. So he points to an interesting story that appears in Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, going out to Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that a person has to be extremely careful with regards to their work, and even more so, they have to be careful with regards to their work when they are teaching Torah. And that is instructive from a famous story where Yoav was supposed to kill all of Edom, both all the men and the women, and the Gemara records that he stayed there and he cut off and he just killed every man. Until he killed every man in Edom. So when he comes in front of David, so David yells at him, why do you do this? So Yoav responded, and this is Inyani Diyoma with regards to this week's Parsha, or this week's Maftir, Dichsiv Timche Es Zachar Amalek. He says, what do you mean? It's a Beferish Pasuk. We're supposed to eradicate all of the males of Amalek. That's what it says in the Pasuk. So Amar Lei, David says to him, I don't know how to break this to you, but v'ha'anan zecher krinan. We don't read it as zachar, we read it as zecher, eradicate the memory of Amalek. So so Yoav says to him, ana zachar krinan. He says, what do you mean? I read it zachar. That's my girsa. So where did he get that from? So that's the way he was taught. That's the implication that the Gemara gives you. So Azul Shaila L'Rabbi. So Yoav went and asked his Rebbe, tracked down his third grade Rebbe, and said, Rebbe, how do you read this pasuk? So Heyachak Krisan, how do you read it? So Amar Lei, so the Rebbe said back, Zecher. What do you mean? It says Zecher. Or Zecher, depending on what your gear says nowadays. But it says Zecher. What's your problem? So apparently what happened is, in the Shekal Safsira Lemiktalei. So Yoav took his sword in order to kill the teacher. So why is he killing the teacher? The teacher knew the right answer. The teacher told him the right thing, right? So it's not just incumbent upon the teacher to teach the right thing, it's incumbent upon the teacher to make sure his Talmidim learn the right thing. And that's where the teacher was negligent. He knew the right answer, but he didn't make sure that his Talmidim knew it. So Shakal Safsisi L'miklei, so he took out a sword to kill him. So Amrelei, the teacher said, Amai, what are you doing to me? So Amrelei, Dichsiv Arur Osa Melecha Hashem Remia. Because it says, cursed is he who does the work of Hashem negligently. That you were negligent in your work, and therefore you deserve to die. So Amrelei, the teacher, turns to Yoav, Shafki Lehu Gavr, the Lake of Barur. So leave that man to remain under the curse. So fine, let me be cursed. I'll be cursed. You don't have to kill me for it. So Amar Lei, Yoav says to him, well, Ksiv Arumunei Acharu Midam. Well, it also says in that pasuk, curses a person who withholds his sword from shedding blood. And that's why I'm going to kill you. So what happens at the end of the story? Did he kill him? Did Yoav kill his teacher? Hope not. What do you mean? He required, otherwise he gets cursed. So it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. The Gemara concludes, Ikud da Amri Katli, Ikud da Amri Lo Katli. There are those that say that he actually did the deed and he killed him, and there are those that, and some say that he didn't do the deed. But the purpose of me sharing this story is to demonstrate the importance of making sure when a person has work to do, they have to ensure that they do the work correctly. They have to ensure that it's done right.
This week's
Parsha Zachor. So that's the Zachor is. Tibches Zechar Amalek Bitachas Hashemayim. It's supposed to Tibches Zechar Amalek.
Baba Basra.
Baba Basra Daf Chuf Aleph Amar Aleph to Amar Beis. Yes. So Yaakov, what do we see from here? Then so Yaakov emerges from, and he is able to go beyond the Avos, and therefore, so Yaakov goes beyond the Avos, not just beyond his expectations, beyond the expectation with regards to his work, but he goes beyond the Avos. So therefore, the merit of the Avos, the merit of the fathers, gives him the protection that he's not going to be destroyed, and he's going to be able to live, and he'll make it back to Eretz Yisrael, because that's the fulfillment of the promises that were given to the fathers, to his father and grandfather. But that he will remain so much intact. Why is that? So because he went above and beyond, made sure not to take, well, not just not to take anything that wasn't his, but to work to the full extent possible to earn every penny that he got. So therefore, he is given that extra reward.
Also, it's interesting that Yaakov replaced the Laban sheep that were killed by animals.
He paid for it with his own money. We saw that comment. That also is going beyond. Correct. The only problem, can anybody think what the problem is with that? There's only one problem in this parak with making that type of sermon, that type of drasha. There's one taina that a person should have from reading through this parak and say, wait a second, Yaakov is not so clean in this area. Where would that be? So that would be Pasuk Yud Tes and Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Yud Tes and Pasuk Chaf. V'lavan halach ligzoz es tzono. Lavan went to shear his sheep. V'tignov Rachel es hatrafim asher liavia. And Rachel stole the trafim. That's Pasuk Yud Tes. She stole. V'yignov. Stole. Now we could say, all right, well that's Rachel, that's not Yaakov. But what's the very next pasuk? V'yignov Yaakov. Yaakov also stole as Lev Lavan Harami, Abelihi Gidlo Kivoreachu. That Lavan stole the heart of his father, which the Mefarshim explained. Nowadays we call such an action Gnevas Das. He misled his father. From the fact that he neglected to tell him that he's going to be leaving. So, what do you mean Yaakov is this epitome, and Yaakov is this paradigm of greatness in terms of not taking anything that doesn't belong to him? Well, we see in this very parak, right before, the very last thing he does with working for Lavan is that he runs away, and he, in the word vayignov, is used by the pasuk to show that he sounds like he stole something. So we were wondering earlier in our study of this parak whether that's considered a good or bad term. I mean, that sounds like he's using a pretty bad term with regards to Yaakov. So the answer, perhaps, to that question is that no. It might be if one looks at Rav Hirsch. So Rav Hirsch talks about these two psuk and points out the proximity of the two words vayignov. The two genevas are put very close to each other, and he makes the point that and he justifies both of them. This is Rav Hirsch, who Rav Hirsch is usually the first one. If one wants to see criticism of the Avos, if one wants to read through these stories and see things that the Avos did that it seems to be questionable, Rav Hirsch is often the first one to criticize. And Rav Hirsch, not the first one, because Rabban before him used to criticize. But Rav Hirsch is a good source to look at to see criticism of the Avos. Rav Hirsch is not holding back. But in this situation, Rav Hirsch looks at both of these situations and justifies them. He says, why did Rachel take away the trafim? Because she didn't want her father to do avodah zarah. And it could be that until that point, she was able to kind of bother him enough that he wouldn't do it so much, but now she's leaving, so she wanted to keep him from doing it. And she hoped, not only that, not just that she hoped to take the idols, because then he could get more idols, but that she hoped that he would see the stupidity of idol worship by this. That he has the idols in order to protect him. The idols are going to protect Lavan. The idols can't even protect themselves. So therefore, maybe Lavan will see the light and realize that worshipping this Avodah Zarah is ridiculous. That's A. And then B, the with regards to Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu is going to say, well, why did he steal? So Yaakov, he says, Vaiknov Yaakov is slave Lavan Arami. So Refersh says, well, he had to. Yes, it's true he did Genevas Das, but sometimes Genevas Das is justified. If Yaakov wouldn't have told Lavan, if Yaakov would have told Lavan that he's leaving, Lavan would have taken all these things from him. He would have either kept him from leaving, or he would have kept him from leaving without any of his money. So therefore, it is justified that Yaakov did it. So in the very same perek that we see how Yaakov goes above and beyond what's expected in order to make sure what's not things that he steals are make sure that he doesn't steal anything, not just the negative action of stealing, but even the positive action of not stealing, that he goes and does extra work to make sure that he's not accused of stealing. He also, the same, very same perek, has an example of him stealing. So how does that work out? The answer is that just because a person is going to be very good at a certain midah, it doesn't mean that they violate either prohibitions or that they go the other way, that they do the wrong thing. That Yaakov, that Rachel and Yaakov, A, were justified, and B, needed to do this stealing act. And it doesn't diminish the fact that Yaakov is considered extremely honest simply because he steals over the course of this parak. Right, the same thing is, that is a general theme within the life of Yaakov. That what is the pasuk say about Yaakov? Titen emes liYaakov. That Yaakov is the paradigm of emes. So I remember a friend of mine was once very bothered by this, that we see Yaakov lies throughout his entire lifetime. He spends, he's deceitful. He's deceitful with regard, most paradigmatically, he's deceitful with Esav. He's deceitful with Yitzchak. And at the end here, he seems to be deceitful with Lavan. So what do you mean, Titen Emes LiYaakov? Maybe the pasuk should be read as Titen Emes LiYaakov. Give Emes LiYaakov, because he could use a little bit of Emes. Because everything doesn't, he seems to be lacking it the entire time. So the answer is to this as well. That just because sometimes lying is justified, and lying is important, and lying is necessary. And if a person wouldn't lie, there is a bit of a machla. We already did the sugya of lying for the sake of peace, sheker mishum shalom, and there is a bit of a dispute there about whether one is obligated to lie for the sake of peace, or only if one is permitted to lie for the sake of peace. But either way, if a person goes ahead and does it, and fulfills that requirement that, well, it's Mishum Shalom, and therefore I'm going to lie, or with regards to Yaakov, it's demonstrating one's ability to do things in a world that sometimes is difficult to work in, so that's still part of his emes. Just because it is not what we would call truth, it's part of his midah of emes. It's developing his midah of emes, that I'm always going to tell the truth, except for when I'm not supposed to tell the truth, and then I'm not going to tell the truth. That demonstrates a knowledge of the midah, of the characteristic of emes. So too, with regards to the midah of geneva, which also works together with emes, I'm going to be 100% truthful with putting in a full day's work. So yeah, this very same parak that demonstrates his truthfulness and his activity and his positivity when it comes to making sure that I am not accused of stealing, he goes ahead and does Gnevas Das. The pasuk accuses him of doing Gnevas Das to show that he's not just a person who is very, very, very careful, but he's a person that understands that even though I'm going to make sure not to steal anything, there are times when things are justified, and following through on those justified acts doesn't diminish his positive acts. That actually demonstrates a full knowledge and a full a fuller demonstration of what those midos entail. So with that, I think we'll conclude Parshas Vayitze, and we move on to Vayishlach, the sending out the encounter between Yaakov and Esav.